All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to get this show started. First off, I want to welcome you to the Improv Lab at the world-famous Hollywood Improv, where we host comedy, music, and variety shows 7 nights a week. Very excited to have you with us here for another edition of Story Smash, competitive storytelling at its best. Now, with all that said, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to put your hands together nice and loud. Welcome to the stage, your host, Christine Blackburn.
My name is Christine Blackburn, and you guys are here on an amazing night. Wait until you see this crazy show we've got lined up for you. But we're going to kick it off right away, and we are going to reveal the Wheel of Stories. You will see 16 permanent topics on the wheel, including one that says free. If the contestant lands on free, they can tell any story on that wheel. There are also two spaces that say audience, and if the contestant lands on audience, that means you guys get to shout out your story suggestions for them, and our expert judges will be the ones who choose that story topic. We're going to be playing 3 rounds tonight, you guys, and when the contestants comes to the stage, we want to yell this. You ready to practice? Here we go. Oh my God, you're so good at it. All right, you guys, we're going to start off right away with our expert judges. Coming to the stage right now is Danny Zucker, you guys. He is a television writer who's best known for his Emmy Award-winning work as an executive producer on ABC's Modern Family. Danny has worked in various capacities on television shows, including Just Shoot Me, Roseanne, The Arsenio Hall Show, and believe it or not, he got his start as an intern on The Howard Stern Show. How about that? And here's what's super exciting. Danny has a book coming out this spring. It's called He Started It, and it chronicles his Twitter wars with President Donald Trump. You can find Danny on Twitter at Danny Zucker. You guys, give him a hand. Danny Zucker. Woo! And right now coming to the stage is Jenny Johnson. And here's something interesting. Jenny Johnson actually has a podcast with this guy. It's called Doing It with Danny and Jenny. You got to catch that. Jenny Johnson's also a former television news producer turned comedian. She's actually known as the Queen of Twitter, and she's also been a regular contributor to GQ Magazine, Glamour Magazine, Paper Magazine, Grantland.com, and she has a book called Immature Adult. You can find her on Twitter as well at Jenny Johnson High Five. You guys give her a hand, Jenny Johnson. And finally, we've got Jimmy Pardo's here, you guys. Jimmy Pardo, he is a comedian who has appeared on The Tonight Show, Conan, The Late Late Show, and he's had his own half-hour special on Comedy Central. Jimmy's also the host of Never Not Funny, one of the funniest podcasts I've ever heard. Entertainment Weekly actually called his podcast one of the sharpest and gut-bustingest shows on the internet. You can find Jimmy over on Twitter at Jimmy Pardo. All right, you guys, give him a round of applause. Jimmy Pardo!
Experts.
Okay, you guys, this is so exciting. Now, listen, this first round is only a 1 minute long story. That's fast.
Yeah.
So it's more like an introduction, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you guys ready? Danny,
I understand
how do you
what an introduction means, yes.
Yeah.
No, I was just balancing Jenny's drink, but yeah. Yes, I'm so ready.
Did I drop my pen?
Jenny dropped her pen. We'll get that for
you. No, I don't think I got a pen.
Oh, she didn't drop her pen.
Well, I found one on the ground.
Women, me too. We don't get fucking pens.
All right, you guys, we're going to get started.
Time's up.
Oh, wait, let's see. Now, you've got a pen.
Oh, here it is. Oh, you did drop your pen.
See that?
Yeah,
Jimmy
a man
took
made
it.
Me drop it.
Okay, you guys, we're going to get started right away, and we're going to pull the first name of the first contestant coming to the stage. The first storyteller, you guys, is John Flynn.
John Flynn
is coming to the stage right now.
Bring it.
John Flynn is a writer and a comedian.
He's the co-writer of
the unauthorized musical parody of Hocus Pocus, and he also hosts a weekly storytelling show at the UCB Theater where he performs and directs and teaches, and you can find him on Twitter at jfly99. You guys, let him hear it.
Woo! Spin the wheel, Jenny! Okay.
Spin it, spin.
Here we go.
Make money, make money. No whimmies, no whimmies. I'm so turned on right now.
Oh my God.
I know a way to
I'm
cut
sorry,
about
guys.
45 minutes
sorry,
out of this
that
show.
Was too much.
This is reclaiming my time, reclaiming my time.
Okay, I didn't care for the spin. I'm going to put it at 2.
Growing up.
Oh.
Oh, all right. So When I was 7 years old, I woke up one morning and there were all these men in my house. And and I go downstairs. It was very weird. And all these like guys in suits. And it was like very like bizarre. And my mom's like, get ready for school. So I go to get ready for school. Right before I'm about to leave, she's like, okay, John, this is Tony. And this is like middle-aged guy named Tony. He's like, she's like, he's your new friend. He's going to follow you to school today. He's going to hang out with you. No one's allowed. You're not allowed to tell anyone. Like, just if anyone asks, he's just your friend. And when school's over, you have to come home. And I was like, okay. What I didn't realize was that there was a mafia hit on my family's head at the time. So Tony worked for the FBI. Yeah, my father was the senior district attorney in the state of New Jersey. Someone from a crime family with the last name G wanted to kill my father and my whole family. And instead of sending us somewhere, they were like, ah, here's a middle-aged guy. Just go to school with him. For the next 3 months, I had an FBI bodyguard, but didn't even know about it. Thank you. That is my time.
Wow. Was terrific. John Flynn, you guys. Let him hear it. No, stay here. Stay here.
Hey, no, we got to evaluate.
What do you think, Danny?
I was worried at first because I thought you were doing the plot of E.T. It started very much that way.
Yeah,
you wake
up,
there's men, and I thought you were going to fly. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But then, where in Jersey are you from?
A small town called Little Silver, which is near Red Bank.
Oh, okay. Livingston,
North Jersey. Yeah, yeah, okay. Sort of central, near the shore.
Yeah, North Jersey, South Jersey.
Yeah,
love a good mafia story.
Sure.
There was a mafia hit in my town, and they called it the Fondue Murders. And this is really true. A couple blocks from my house, this guy was found with fondue forks. It was all the rage in the 70s. You'd have fondue parties. My family, my parents did not go to the key parties. They went to the fondue parties. And then they got fondue forks in their eyes. And died.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That was a hit from the gay mafia.
It really was. I thought your story was great. It took me on an adventure.
Okay, Jenny Johnson, what do you think?
My dad was a chemical engineer in Texas. He stole beakers sometimes to make a scotch and water because they had a spittoon. You know? Yeah, no one fucked with us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm fast. I actually want to hear more. I think there should be a Dateline about this shit.
Yeah, 1 minute isn't long enough, is it?
I have never been more fascinated by a story. I kind of want to steal you and take you home.
Jimmy Pardo, what did you think?
I go the other way. A minute was plenty. I didn't need to hear any more.
I get it.
Yeah. Kind of a bore, quite frankly. We've all had stuff happen to us, John.
Totally fair.
All right, you guys. John Flynn, let him hear it.
Thank you.
And coming to the stage right now for a true one-minute story is Roxana Ortega, you guys. Roxana Ortega. Roxana Ortega, she's an actor and a writer and a voiceover artist, and she is an alumni of the Groundling Sunday Company, which is not nothing. She's also a Moth Grand Slammer and the creator of a storytelling show called Minority Retorts. You've seen her on American Vandal, Togetherness, Santa Clarita Diet, and New Girl, and you can currently hear her as Frida Casagrande on Nickelodeon's The Loud House. You can find her over there on Twitter at Roxana Ortega. You guys, let her hear it.
What? No, I just was giving some things. We'll get the huddle. It's exciting.
It's a good spin.
American Vandal was great, by the way.
I'm obsessed with it, and I'm upset I'm not working on it,
no,
by the way.
Going.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
That was very shrill. Very shrill.
That upset me. I am marking you for shrill.
Yeah, oh, good. I'm out of here already. Shrill woman denied. Okay.
Food.
This is food. Okay, so my mother had, she loved teachable moments, and she also loved other cultures, and she combined that with our dinners. So she had like a night, it would be like Hawaiian ribs night, and she'd make Hawaiian ribs with shitty pineapples out of a can and glazed ribs, and she'd be like, let's talk about Hawaiians. And we're like, no, we're just trying to eat. She had a Chinese stir fry night, and she'd be like, oh, you know, in China. And we're like, no, we're just trying to eat this shitty food, because she was actually a terrible cook. And my family took this tradition onto Thanksgiving, and we ended up just abandoning the turkey, and we decided to do like Jamaican Thanksgiving. And my brother took the teachable moments, and he gave us all a pop quiz on whatever cuisine we were eating. Thank you. 10 seconds left.
Wow, Roxana Ortega, how about that? She didn't even use the whole minute. What did you think, Jimmy?
Jenny or Jimmy?
Jimmy.
Oh, loved it. Loved everything about it.
You love food?
I could taste the ribs through the words.
So glazy.
And, you know, your mom's a bad cook, you say, though?
Terrible.
And but were the ribs cooked properly? Because an undercooked rib is a bad rib.
That's
very
really
pink. Where my OCD was.
Very pink.
Very pink, bad rib.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Did you have any kind of ethnic food growing up, Jimmy? Like, did your mother
No, we had
have
nothing
like
but
a...
rice.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean? Yes, of course we had
well,
ethnic food.
Well, I don't
food.
Know. Like, we had chop suey.
I like chop suey.
That was that what, yeah, okay, okay.
Yeah, that was the help. And then we would have Italian food. I was an Italian girl.
Right, right. Okay, I was just wondering. All right.
All right. Why
okay,
are you mad
Danny?
At me about food?
Danny, what'd you think?
I mean, look, I relate to bad mom cook.
Cooking.
I got to sleepaway camp when I was 11 because of Jew and the law in New Jersey. And so they sent me off to on a train to camp. And too soon.
Yeah, too soon. That's not cool.
It's always too soon.
I can say it. I can say it. But I get to camp, and they're serving French toast for breakfast. And in front of everybody, I was like, we're having dinner food at for breakfast. And I was like 11 or 10 before I realized French toast was not a breakfast food, was not a dinner. So I can relate to the embarrassing yeah. thing. So yeah. on that, it took me on a journey.
Okay.
And I hate my mom, so perfect.
Oh, jeez.
Jenny Johnson, what'd
okay,
you think?
Okay, first off, French people would be so not happy that Jews ate their toast.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to say that.
Too soon.
Too soon. Yeah, my mom can cook for shit.
Oh,
I feel
wow.
your pain.
Yeah,
everything was just, lots of ketchup.
Oh.
Lots of ketchup was the fix, and it wasn't. It really wasn't. It was sad. I'm surprised my dad hung around. So I give it, 10 stars. I appreciate it.
All right, you guys, Roxana Ortega.
It's too personal.
Okay, you guys, come in.
You really
run
the whole gamut, though. Like, you went hot and cold. I mean, you were really down
you
on
really
that first
did.
Guy.
And yeah, that first guy's thing, to the second, I'm nauseated by that story.
Wow, it's interesting. Okay.
And luckily, she came along to cheer us up with some ribs. That first one.
All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now is Jason Shapiro. Jason!
Woo!
Jason Shapiro, you guys, he's a writer and a performer who runs one of the most hilarious Twitter feeds you will ever hear, at Los Feliz
Man
Daycare.
Of the Woods.
And actually, that show, that Twitter feed is currently being developed for an animated pilot on Hulu, which is impressive. And you can find him, like I said, on Twitter, at Los Feliz Daycare, and also at JD Shapiro. Okay, you guys, let him hear it.
And will.
All right. Hi, guys.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, Jason. Honestly, check out Los Feliz Daycare. It's the best account.
It's my favorite thing.
It's really funny.
But this wheel is actually my new favorite.
I know.
It really is.
Jizz.
Oh.
Everybody's disappointed.
Pets. So, growing up, we had class hamsters. So, there was a class hamster in second grade named Oreo, and everybody in class loved Oreo. Oreo, if you could imagine, was black and white. So, it was very creative that we called him or her Oreo. We didn't know. But every week we would take Oreo home. Someone would trade off. I took Oreo home. Everything went well. One week, a girl, we won't name her, took Oreo home. And Oreo did not come back. Oreo died. And so everybody in class gave that girl shit for the whole year. And it was Oreo killer. It was you killed Oreo. Oreo didn't leave your house. And that girl grew up to be Jody Arias. And so...
Oh, Jesus.
Jody Arias. Jason Shapiro, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it wasn't Jody Arias, but...
Okay, wait. Stay here.
Wow.
Okay, hang on. Okay, what did you think, Jimmy?
You know, I made a note that I was unhappy that you were not naming the young lady.
Yeah.
And then for it to come back with the mispronunciation of the name.
Yeah.
Leads me to believe not a lot true in that story, Jason.
Ooh.
I don't believe anything about this hamster Oreo. How many black and white hamsters are there?
It was real. It just wasn't Jody Arias.
Oh. That was the okay.
Yeah.
All right, Jenny Johnson, what'd you think?
You had me until you said it wasn't real.
No, it was real. It just wasn't Jody Arias.
If you had said, like, oh, Casey Anthony, you know, fucking made a jacket for her, and I would have believed it.
I think Casey Anthony would have been, I would have gotten that rap. Yeah. Jody Arias, I just got this second.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, which one is she? Yeah.
But it was 56 seconds.
I will say this, if I can just.
Go right ahead.
Just as like, you know, so
we speak as one.
I'm looking at the story, and I'm just going to punch it up. I felt like that story should have ended with Oreo. Yes. In Richard Gere's ass. Thank you very much.
Jason Shapiro, you guys, let him hear it. Jason Shapiro.
I'm doing a take to a camera that doesn't exist.
I know. Yeah. Like, we're like, hey, can we take Richard Gere's ass? Let's take a beat. I just learned that Richard Gere's middle name is Tiffany.
I saw you tweet that.
That's a real thing on
Wikipedia.
Wait a
minute. What are you saying?
Richard Gere's middle name is Tiffany.
So his name is
like
Richard
Tiffany,
Tiffany
from the mall pop star with a Y.
Richard, I think we're alone now. Gere. Tiffany.
I think we're, yeah, I love it. You know that.
I'm a huge Tiffany fan.
That is good information. We're learning things
Google
tonight.
Google that shit. It's real.
All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now is John Gabris. John.
Johnny.
John Gabris is an actor and a comedian who's best known for his work on MTV's Guy Code, comedy Bang Bang, TV Land's Younger, and he's the host of two hilarious podcasts, A High and Mighty and also Raised by TV. He recently appeared in the indie comedy film The Little Hours. And most importantly, he's America's number one fuckboy. You heard me. Find him on Twitter at John Gabris. All right, you guys, let him hear it. Woo!
Right. Spin that wheel.
Read the fucking card, people.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
And... Oh, okay. This is the most exciting part for all of
us.
Let's put it in these assholes' hands.
All right, you guys. Now, John Gabris landed on audience, and that means you guys can yell out some suggestions, and then you three go ahead and determine which story you would like John to talk about, all right? Fantastic. So what would you guys like to hear?
Last time you wore your Speedo down at the beach.
Okay.
Very specific.
I'm already
very
a fan
specific
of
for my old lifeguard.
Very specific.
Partner. Anything else? I'm sorry?
Shoes.
Gloves?
Drugs.
Shoes. Gloves.
Vegas, virginity.
Wow.
I'd like to hear gloves.
I've never been more aroused.
There's someone officially tanking me in the crowd.
No, I'm not going to do gloves.
We got to do gloves, please.
What do you want to hear? I wanted to hear Vegas. I feel like.
Vegas?
Yeah.
Oh,
Vegas. That's a good topic.
Nobody has a bad.
No?
Yeah, that's your thing.
Yeah.
John, if you mention gloves in the Vegas story.
If you can mention gloves, drugs, and Vegas,
okay,
and a Speedo.
If you can actually work all of those things into this,
okay,
you have won three people over.
Sure, I have 60 seconds to work three stupid suggestions into one story. Copy that. No, there's no such thing as stupid suggestions, only stupid performers.
Yeah, there is. No, all right. Like, no, that's stupid.
Whenever it's... Oh, I should just start the story. I see. This is me stalling. Vegas. Okay, I went to a bachelor party in Las Vegas. Ha! Am I the only one that's ever done that? You know, bachelor party's a good time. It's good to catch up with old friends and do cocaine once in a while just to see if your fucking system can handle it. Spoiler alert, it can't. I should not do cocaine. Everyone that ever looked like me dies from that. But we were at a cabana. My friend's rich. His uncle's rich. He rented us a cabana for his bachelor party. He's like, on the last day, I just want to get a bottle of Patron. This is what happens when you get married when you're 24. You have a bachelor party when you're 23. So we say, oh, get a bottle of Patron. $700. Luckily, the fucking cabana comes with a $1,000 tab that you have to hit. So he's like, the uncle's like, get it. And so we got a $700 bottle of Patron. We each do like a little half shot. And we're like, we got to make this last the whole day. The groom, the rich kid, pours 3/4 of a bottle of Patron into a giant iced tea glass with iced tea, and he's like, bro, we'll just drink this around the pool. Takes 2 steps out of the hut, drops it on the ground, smash. $700 down the drain, literally down the drain in 30 seconds. I had gloves on.
John Gabris. Wow, that was a great story.
Sorry, everybody, I took Roxana's 10 seconds.
Everybody has a Vegas story. What did you think, Jimmy?
You know what? I thought the tag was great. The tag saved it. I didn't like any of the earlier part, of course, John, but the fact that you were wearing gloves in Vegas, loved everything about it.
All right, Danny, what'd you think?
Well, you know, I quite enjoyed cocaine in the 90s. And I'm not a thing. Like, it's a miracle I'm alive, and I miss my septum, and I so I you had me there. I just thought the story was great. I would have liked to just start with the gloves. Yeah. How about you?
All right, Jenny, what'd you think?
Yeah, I would think the gloves should have come in the middle. I don't know, it's just me. Yeah. I
can't
weird.
Please everybody.
Fucking Me Too chicks. You know how we are. We want gloves in the middle of a story. I fucking love the whole thing, and I'm very upset with your friends. You should not be friends with these people.
Oh, I no longer am.
That makes me happy. I was more concerned that these people who would actually piss away perfectly good booze.
Yeah, it was a real shit show. I'll say, and that'll be like one of the least worst things that happened that weekend.
But that's
when you get in a Suburban with a guy named Johnny Vegas is always a bad.
Oh no! Yeah.
Well, it's at least that's what he's in my phone as. I don't know what the fuck is real.
It's no different than playing football with Johnny Football.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
All right, you guys, John Gabris, let him hear it. So much talent here tonight, right? Yes. And you can just get so much story out in 1 minute.
Too much.
It's very exciting. All right, you guys, coming up is our final contestant for round one, telling a true 1 minute story, is Mo Welsh, you guys. Mo Welsh. She's a stand-up comedian and a writer who just released her 10-part animated series, Blair. It debuted on TBS Digital, and that is a beautiful cartoon strip. I don't know if you guys have seen Blair.
No.
I've never seen that cartoon strip.
It's really beautiful. It's amazing. You've seen her on Conan.
So many cartoons.
CBS's Life in Pieces. Hulu's Coming to the Stage, and she also appears in season 2 of Amazon's Gordimer Gibbons' Life on Normal Street. You can find her on Twitter, at Mo Welsh. And again, look for her cartoon, Blair. All right, you guys, put your hands together and let her hear it.
Can't wait.
Spin the wheel.
So it's like a comic strip or a cartoon?
It's a one-panel comic strip.
Okay. Like Family Circus?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Like Love Is?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Like, is that
Breakup
happy?
Girl?
Oh, fuck. Breakup. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm such a square. Okay. all right. So I broke up with a lot of guys in college because I was gay. And actually, I still am gay. But I just kept breaking up with them. I didn't really know why, and they certainly didn't know why. So I had to make up all these excuses to why I was breaking up with them. I broke up with a guy who was like 6'5", this huge muscle guy. I don't know why I dated the manliest of men. I broke up with him because he said he didn't really think Meryl Streep was pretty. And I was like, you can go fuck yourself. That's not what I was saying. I said she was a good actress. But the best, this guy, he drove a truck. And he was driving. We were like going on a road trip. And I looked over and he ate his booger. He picked it. And he ate his booger, and I was like, we're done. I literally never kissed him again. We went on vacation. I was like, I can't kiss you. You ate your own booger. You're gone. I'm a huge lesbian. Yeah, that's it.
Mo Welsh, you guys. Mo Welsh. Look at that perfect time. 59 seconds. She was right on the money.
Amazing.
What do you think, Danny?
You promised you weren't going to tell a booger story. I apologized so many times. I thought I was riveted from the very beginning. It had lesbians, it had muscle men and boogers. It's like a Modern Family episode. It's just perfect. Thank you.
All right, what'd you think, Jenny?
I'm intrigued. I thought that was fucking hilarious. I love that you dated a 6'5 guy, the manliest of manly dudes. I may have dated him after you. I'm not 100% sure. But love it. The booger thing. Yeah, that was gross, but true.
Was it a deal breaker? Would that be a deal breaker for
you? No, it was honest.
But would it be a deal breaker for you?
Definitely not.
I think...
I can confirm.
Danny White, don't speak for me.
I'm sorry.
Don't speak for me. Yes.
It would be
a deal. Yeah, I don't know that you could find a soul to put a microphone in front of their face and say, hey, would someone eating a booger...
Yeah.
Stop.
Be done.
I see.
For you. If there's an adult human being in here, I would be fascinated to be like, no, I'm into that shit. Like, nobody's going to say that.
Even if you were married like 10 years.
I was married.
Okay.
I was married for fucking almost 9 years. And if my ex, I wiped a booger on him once.
Is that why you're separated?
No, he made me mad and he walked away and I was like...
Okay, like, Jimmy, what did you think?
I think I just want this segment to end. Holy shit.
I'm nauseated
Jimmy's
by the idea
upset.
Of people
my
eating
ex-husband.
Their own mucus. I can't even say booger. I'm so disgusted by the word.
Booger?
I don't like the word. I hate the word. I also hate the F word
with
gas.
What words do you say?
To do with gas. Oh. I don't like the F word. But fart? That said, I thought the story was wonderful. It was tough for me to get through because I canvassed for Mike Pence, so I didn't like a lot of the content. But you know, we'll get into some electroshock therapy, and we're going to work it through.
All right, you guys, let her hear it. Mo Welsh. Okay. We're moving on to round two, you guys.
So now we turn
the
sheet.
Can turn your sheet over.
Okay.
And this is exciting because this time the contestants are coming up and they're telling a true two-minute story.
A little longer.
A little longer. It's twice as long.
About twice the time.
Yeah, about.
That's about right.
100% longer.
All right. So pay attention. Listen up. This is going to be exciting. Coming up right now is John Gabris, you guys. Give him a hand. Here he comes right now. Let him hear it.
There we go. I was really hoping you were going to rattle off all my podcast credits again. This guy's bringing in $800 a month from Mack Weldon.
Danny and I don't bring in anything. Stop bragging.
I bought a house so hard.
Yeah, it's that fucking annoying TV job gets in the way. Let me spin this for you guys. Super long spin you guys like, right?
Bring
you like
it.
To just
bring
watch
that shit.
For a while.
Pinwheel spinning around.
You should go grab a smoke.
That thing is smooth, isn't it?
I'm Wayne Brady, and I'll be doing...
Oh, I hope you sing something.
Oh, fuck. thank
He's
you for
man.
Skipping food.
I'm killing, yeah. Mom.
Oh,
that's what I always envision him saying.
Oh,
Holly's weird.
It's weird out here.
Well, play on words.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Now I get it. So they're like business-esque stories. Cool. So you heard me say my two podcast credits earlier, right?
Yeah.
That's barely in Hollywood, but I do have... everyone has shitty meeting stories. We all have shitty meeting stories, but I'll make you listen to one of mine. Just imagine four other people have told meeting stories at a circle at Birds, and I'm like, all right, I'll fucking limp in with a minute and 58 seconds of some bullshit here. This is true. It's just not a good story. Me and my friend, my former writing partner, we were pitching. We were out in L.A. We were doing a sketch comedy show. This all stuff used to happen. Live comedy. You guys would love it. We came out. We flew out here, you know, backpack full of props, like a mannequin head and a sword and dildos because it was our first sketch show. And we have a meeting at Comedy Central or Spike. It doesn't even fucking matter, but it's one of those two. Whichever network had the show Kenny and Spenny on in the mid-2000s, because they were fucking sucking Kenny and Spenny's dick throughout the whole meeting. A friend of mine, the guy who is my writing partner, is a smaller, good-looking guy, kind of looks like Matthew Broderick or a white Eddie Griffin. I am the fat guy. When he has terrible farts, when he farts in mixed company, what do you think? Do you think they look at the two of us and go, it's probably the skinny little healthy dude? No, they go, it's the fucking baby with a beard, this 300-pound baby over there. It's Josh Gad's fatter brother. And we get into a meeting and he farts before everyone comes in, and I'm like, dude, that stinks. He goes, you're always such a dick about my farts, man. You just gotta stop. And I'm like, dude, I'm serious, that stinks. He goes, shut up. I'm like, they're gonna think it's me. He's like, they're not gonna even smell it. Our manager, now fired, comes in and goes, wow, it really stinks in this room. And I'm like, looking at him, and then the network execs come in, and this is before we start sucking Kenny and Spenny's dick, but they go, wow, whoa, ho, man, what is that smell? And I'm looking at my Justin Tyler, and I'm going, what the fuck, man? And the woman's like, well, they had a baby in the office earlier, maybe the diaper's in the garbage. And someone's like, I heard there was a dead animal in the wall. Oh, God. The ending of the story is exactly what you think it is.
John Gabris, you guys. John Gabris. Jimmy, I felt so bad he said that word.
I made it very clear, John, I don't like that word.
Yeah,
I just had
okay,
it.
We can't all go by your whims, Jimmy, based on what you've said.
I think you do.
Okay, shit, I'm out.
That's the premise of the program.
Fuck, I need a three-minute story.
Danny, what'd you think?
You know, I go listen to last time's podcast. I told a fart story. I'm a sucker for fart stories. I did. No, it was the last time on this one. No, this is a podcast. Stop.
This is a podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, now I got four.
What?
Update the resume.
I also tell, good to know.
It's pilot season.
It's our podcast.
I liked it all. I've had a million fucking shitty network stories. I stuck them out without even farting. So, good job.
All right, nice. Jenny, what do you think?
Farts are funny. You win. I love farts.
Fart.
I love a fart joke.
Jimmy, do you want to shut these people up?
I can't. Apparently, I'm losing this fight.
I'm sorry. Boogers and farts.
Shut up!
I'd like to issue a formal apology.
Oh, thank you, John.
And what is the ending anyway, John?
Oh, the ending is that they rattle off like 50 possible reasons as to why it might smell in there. Yeah. And I'm like, you have to fucking own up. And he doesn't say a thing.
Oh, no.
We move conference rooms. We make like two interns that are logging tapes move out. So, and then we sit there and then they just talk about Kenny and Smenny for a half hour.
John Gabers, you guys, let him hear it.
That's amazing.
All right, everybody, coming to the stage right now for another true 2-minute story is Mo Welsh, you guys. Mo Welsh, let her hear it. All right, here you guys, let her hear it.
It's a good wheel. All right.
Oh, break up again. Oh.
Did I get a...
Tell the same story. Tell the same one.
Well, you already had breakup,
so I'm
right?
A lesbian. Yeah.
Spin it again.
Spin again.
If it is breakup again, everyone gets a Camry. Everyone in here gets a Camry.
A Camry? If it lands up on breakup again, I'm going to be
that's
so
a good
happy.
Car.
That will fucking crack my balls up if it lands on breakup. Oh, Mom. Come on,
Mom.
Oh,
not that one. Oh. That's on... Damn. What is that?
Move it.
It's in the middle.
Birthdays. Oh, no.
It's on Mom. It's on Mom. It's clearly on Mom.
Mom.
Perfect.
I know, but Jimmy, it's happening.
It happened. God wanted it to
mom,
happen.
Mom, it's happening. Mom, it's happening.
Right, yeah,
let's
mom.
Do it, Mo.
Let's go.
Okay, I have a mom.
Let's see
I have,
how
I
fucked
have
up
a mom.
Your shit is.
I have a
All
mom.
All right, let's go.
Okay, we were really poor growing up, not to brag, and we are on welfare, and they give you, all they gave you in the 80s was like block cheese, and we were all lactose intolerant, so we did the thing. We farted a lot, and... we were all backed up for years and years, my entire childhood. But my mom decided she's going to save up money. We're going to go. She's going to bring the first three girls to the movies. So first movie we ever saw, The Little Mermaid. I was like, this is the best day of my life. Yes. We get through the credits. Ariel, I see her. She's in this shell bra. I'm like, this is amazing. It's the best day of my life. And... needed to work out those feelings, but right after the credits, my mom leans over and she's like, we need to go, get up. And I was like, what? We just started this. She's like, we need to go. Your sister just pooped her pants. We have to leave. My sister was 12. she was 12. And so we all leave. My mom gets a refund, of course, because before a half hour, you can get all the refund. We leave, we get in the station wagon. I do a full roast on my sister. I did a Shard of Your World parody song, just like everything. I just like really killing it, really killing it. And I laughed so hard. I laughed so hard that I shit my pants. Just in case you felt bad for her for a second. There were two kids in the station wagon that shit their pants because you shouldn't eat government block cheese. If you're lactose intolerant. Thank you.
All right, Mo Welsh. How about that, Danny? What do you think?
I loved everything about this story. Shit story. Okay, so also, so I have a gay daughter. I have, like, twins. There's the one I love and the gay daughter. And then, just because of Jesus.
Yeah, of course.
But I honestly, this is not, I'm not lying. My straight daughter had no feelings for The Little Mermaid at all. And it is only until this moment that I realized I watched The Little Mermaid 15 times with my daughter because she was like probably spanking to it. It's amazing.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Great story. Yeah. Thank
you. It's the shell bra.
It's the shell bra. I mean, I like the shell bra too.
Yeah.
I mean,
which I'm going to just pick up.
Yeah, please
do. I'm pretty sure that there was another reason that you watched The Little Mermaid 15 times.
Yeah, I was. I love that.
Fucking hell.
That Ursula.
Wait, why did you... Wait, who did
Modern
you like
Modern Family, 5 Emmys.
I don't know. I would keep your kids close.
The dad is great too. My mom used to always be like, "I just love him. He's such a good dad."
On
Little Mermaid, because he had like 16 daughters.
Because they stayed married. That would be my mom saying. My mom would be like, "Well, they stayed married. They valued that you got divorced, Jenny. Like, fuck you." Yeah.
What did you think, Jimmy?
Jimmy, I'm sorry.
I
there's
think
no
there's
farts,
some big
boogers.
Gag, they're shit pant.
Oh, I already forgot about it.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
Some sick joke is being played on me. that everybody's out to get me.
I am so sorry. And there's not even a topic.
There's nothing
like
scatological
bodily,
up there, but
no
everybody shows
functions.
Me to do this.
Yeah.
I also feel like the oldest man in the world that your first movie was Little Mermaid, so I'm taken back. My parents took me to see Shampoo.
My dad, honestly, the first movie he ever took me to was Marathon Man.
Oh, my God. Is it safe?
No, it was it. I was like, I still don't go to the dentist.
You shouldn't.
Yeah, it's terrible.
My parents took me to Airplane.
Well, that's a good movie.
Yeah. The greatest movie of all time.
All right, you guys. Yeah. Mo Welsh, let her hear it.
All right, Mo, good story. Let's tell you what movies we enjoyed.
Yeah. All right, you guys. Coming to the stage right now for a true two-minute story is Jason Shapiro. Jason.
Jay Shep.
Here he comes. Let him hear it, you guys.
Jay Shep. Spin that wheel.
Come on, Jason. Oh, nice.
I just want to say, I would have said Jody's last name the same way.
I have to.
Yeah, I would.
Can you say it wrong again?
Yeah.
How was it?
I'll do it better this way.
Marius, that's right. Oh, birthdays.
Okay, birthdays.
You've had more than one.
Was the worst days. Yeah. So I had some birthdays growing up, and they were a good time. So... one of my best birthdays was in college. I was 21 years old. And if you're not aware, when you're 21 in the United States, you can begin drinking for the first time. So this would be probably like my 500th time drinking. And I decide that it's a really, really good idea to just go hard on tequila that night. And so... a night like tonight, I'm going really hard on tequila, and I am at a bar called Bullfeathers in University of Wisconsin-Madison. Great thing about Bullfeathers, they will let anybody in, no matter your age. My friend, who is a Jewish man named Todd, he went in the bar when we were 17 years old. With an ID of a Japanese guy. And so they're just going to let anybody into Bullfeathers. So that was where I chose to have the big night. And so we had about 20, 21 shots before we go out. We're feeling great. Yeah. It's the 21st birthday. And so finally, I use my ID at Bullfeathers for the first time. And I'm so happy. And I proudly get up to the bar and I say... I've been using a fake ID this whole time, and I showed them, and I said, this is my real ID. I'm 21, and I would like a shot of Patron for everybody right here. So my three friends, we get a shot of Patron, and so I take it and immediately throw up all over the bar and get let out, and that was my 21st birthday.
Jason Shapiro, so much Patron being wasted tonight. What'd you think, Jimmy?
You know what? I was glad that it was shit-free. I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. I don't, you know, anything coming out of the mouth, I got no problem with it. Yeah. Down low is where I got my issues.
Yeah.
Right? We go upstairs, not the basement.
I probably shit that night.
God, fuck, Jason!
Jenny, what'd you think?
I liked it. I understand that. And where I grew up in Texas, I went to Sam Houston State University.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
No fucking way you went there.
Someone
Seriously?
Fucked up her SATs.
Get fucked up. UT. That's a better college. But just outside of Huntsville, Texas, where they execute people, that's where I went to college.
Woo.
There's a town called Cut and Shoot. I'm not even shitting you. It's called Cut and Shoot. It's just outside of Huntsville, East Texas. And there was a double wide trailer, and I don't believe that anyone was told that there's a Texas Alcohol Board of Commissions, and there's a thing that, yeah, you have to close at a certain time. We would just drive there, and I remember one of my friends goes, "You're not 21. Just show them your Texaco card." Great. I walked in. There was a lady with a mustache. I showed her my Texaco card, and she's like, "Have a good time. Go on and have a good time." That really happened for like 4 years.
Wow.
Even after I turned 21, I wanted to keep that train rolling. It worked out. I was really proud of myself. The lady's mustache got thicker. It was amazing. She looked like Magnum P.I. I'm a fan of her work. I just want to give her a shout out, whatever her name is, Skip or something like that. But
Danny, what'd you think?
That's my dad's name, Skip.
Skip. Oh. Yeah. My mom's name is Corky, so let's just go toe to toe on that.
Yeah. It is. Her mom's name is Corky.
That it really is.
Huge racist. I love her. She's great. Yeah. I was disappointed there wasn't any shit in the story. Yeah. I'm gonna be honest with you.
It was the other way.
That was sort of how I felt. I felt like you were shit deficient.
Danny, what happened on your 21st birthday?
On my 21st birthday...
Do you remember it?
Yeah, I guarantee I was just... I probably was doing, like, up to like Scarface amounts of cocaine at Syracuse. Most of my stories from 21 to... I guess, when did I stop doing cocaine?
It was the 80s.
It was 34.
Just Shoot Me?
Yeah, Just Shoot Me.
When you were writing...
I was writing on Just Shoot Me, and I stopped doing cocaine. There's an episode of Just Shoot Me that I remember watching with my son. I was not doing cocaine at this point, unlike when I was with my six-month-old daughters. But I was watching it with him, and I was like, hey, this is pretty funny. And he was looking at me, and he's like, you wrote this. I have no recollection of writing that episode. Yeah, yeah. I'm that good.
All right, you guys, let Jason Shapiro hear it. Jason. Okay, just a few more contestants left in the second round, and the person coming up next for a true two-minute story is John Flynn, you guys. John Flynn. Here he comes. Let him hear it.
Oh, a gentle
light and breezy.
Spin.
Light and breezy.
I learned my lesson.
Vacation.
Vacation. FBI. Oh, okay. I guess. All right. So when I was in about like fifth grade or so, my aunt was going to take me to Disneyland with my cousin for the very first time. And we were like super excited. We had like an old aunt who lived in Florida. So like we went down and stayed with her. And it was super boring. She had like, she was not prepared to have two like 12-year-old boys at her house. She like didn't have cable. She didn't have any board games. She just had a tennis ball. She was like, play with a tennis ball. We were there for a week, but like the last day was when we went to Disney. So like the whole time, every time we would like get roughhousey or like misbehave, they'd be like, we cannot go to Disney if you want, which is like the smartest and the fucking worst. But then finally the day came we were supposed to go to Disney. But my aunt did not actually not live near Disney. We had to take three buses. Like we had to get up at 5 in the morning, get on one bus to get to another bus to get on a third bus. The third bus we got on, the bus driver was the worst. He just spent the whole time like telling all these jokes that were like really bad and I didn't get them. But I know at one point he started one joke and before I said, before I tell you this joke, I just want you to know I am in no way prejudiced, which is always a great sign. And then he tells a joke and I don't remember it, but I remember the last line of it was like, and then the wife said, you show is, honey. And like no one in the bus like responded at all. And I turned to my aunt and I was like, what does that mean? And she just went, you know what? It wasn't even funny. I'm not going to explain it to you. Like if it was like a funny racist joke, she would have been like, well, here's the deal. But she was like, no, it's terrible. So we get to Disney. And this guy's also like, oh, guys, we have to make a quick 15-minute pit stop before we get to Disney. We have a very special guest to pick up. We were like, oh, what's this? It took 2 hours to get this special guest, which was his wife and son. And he was like, it's my wife and son. And like applauded. We were like, what? We want to go to Disney. We were supposed to be there from like noon to 5. We get there at like 2:30. And the guy's like, the bus has a hard out at 5, guys. You guys have to be back here at 5. So like we get there and my cousin was like, I'm hungry. So like we had to go eat first. And then we got online for, what's that? The roller coaster that's in the dark. Space Mountain. He cried the whole time. We got back in time for the bus. That was the only ride we went on. And then the bus driver came back an hour and a half later. And he said, sorry, folks. I promised my son we could ride certain rides. So I had to do that. So that was fuck Disney.
John Flynn, you guys. Wow, that was a great story in 2 minutes. What'd you think, Danny?
I was riveted by that story. I love that story very much. I went to, you know, I was actually at Disney World you're talking about, right? You said Disneyland.
Sorry.
I marked you.
fair. Totally fair.
We're going to be clear. I marked you. I went to Disney World the year it opened, and they actually did like a beta test of Disney World. This is a true story. Where it wasn't fully open, but they were like having people come, and so the crowd, and I didn't even know what the fuck it was. I'm in second grade, and I go down, and my dad, who they gave us a deal on it, #Jew, and we And we go there, and there were, like, locals there. And I would remember walking into the park, and I felt like I was, like, second grade, and I was the oldest. I have two younger sisters, and they let me go into the park alone. And so I'm, like, by the Haunted Mansion. It's up on a hill. I'm looking down, and some local kids are throwing rocks at Goofy. They're just, like, throwing rocks off the hill, like, bigger kids. They seem super old. They're probably, like, you know, 14, and they're throwing up rocks at Goofy, and I'm watching Goofy, and I'm like really horrified. I've never seen this kind of violence. And then Donald Duck comes running out and just, like, gets in the way, and it's just like I never really enjoyed Disney after that.
Wow. That was,
yeah, real true story.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Jimmy, what'd you think?
I'd like to know how much blow you were doing at that thing.
At that point, almost none.
Oh, yeah. Almost done.
Right. 7 years old, yeah.
I loved it.
Thank
God,
you.
I've never seen you before, but I'm a fan.
Yay.
Now, Jimmy, you have a son. He's 10 years old. Have you taken him to Disney?
Yeah, we go to Disneyland, and he seems to not enjoy a second that we're there.
That's not true.
No, he really doesn't. He doesn't like the rides. He's not a big fan of the food.
The crowds?
He doesn't like crowds. I'm not 100% sure he likes me.
Now, how long do you go for? You give him more than 2.5 hours, right?
Yeah, we go all day. And it, yeah. He you know what he loves? And it's not wrong. I actually enjoy it as well. It's a small world. Because I think he just likes sitting down and going around in the thing. And, oh, this one's relaxing, not like the other bullshit. He doesn't swear like that. He's a clean gentleman.
Yeah. All right. Jenny, what'd you think?
I'm not allowed within 100 yards of a school or anything that's children-themed. I've done some stuff. Okay. No, I've never been to Disneyland, Disney
never?
World. No, I never have.
Neither Disney. You've never.
I never have. My parents are 40 years older than me.
Wow.
And every time I would go, like, hey, that'd be cool to go, they'd go, yeah, we've been there twice. It sucks.
Really? Where did they take you on vacation as a kid?
Fuck in the backyard. Like, nowhere. I didn't go fucking anywhere. Like, literally, every time my sister and I go, hey, can we go here? They're like, we've been there 3 times. It's no.
Now, how old were you when you first got on a plane?
9.
Okay, 9.
And then the next time, 22.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, Jimmy, I'm on a plane all the time, fingers crossed, just fucking take it down.
Jimmy, where'd you go a childhood vacation?
Well, we would go to, I grew up in Chicago, so we'd go, it was a big trip to go to Kings Island in Ohio, or Six Flags in St. Louis, and then when I was about 9, we went down to Disneyland.
Okay.
And threw rocks at the characters.
John Flynn, let him hear it, you guys. John Flynn.
It was you.
Come on. Look at that callback.
All right, you guys, one more storyteller coming up in the second round, and then you guys have the hard job of selecting two stories, two storytellers to go on to the third round.
Oy vey.
I know, right? Okay, you guys,
whatever
coming up right
means.
Now for a true two-minute story is Roxana Ortega. Let her hear it. Let her hear it.
In the wheel.
No whammies.
Oh. Mom. Okay, take one quick break, Roxana. And here comes a drink coming on stage.
Oh, pausing for drink.
Mary Lynn Rice Cub, bring it on a beverage.
Oh, my God.
Mary Lynn Rice Cub.
That's fantastic.
That's amazing. All right,
Roxana.
She's way funnier than all of us.
Okay, so my mother was very Catholic. She always had to go to Mass every Sunday, and as kids, we had to go with her, obviously. And one Sunday morning, she gets in the Oldsmobile. We all pile in. She's a little bit scattered. We're running late, and she hated to be shamed by the priests. So she's like, we got to get there. As we're rolling out of the driveway, my cat, Morning Dew / BJ, BJ stood for Bonnie Jr. There was no Bonnie Sr. She ran over Morning Dew, okay? I'm going to put it bluntly, pum-pum. We all felt it. We all heard it happen, and it was like a collective, like, and then she just kept going to church. And I looked out the window, and I swear to you, BJ's tongue was like all like half hanging out of her mouth. So we get to church, and we're all like, I'm pretty sure my mom's a murderer. And we have to sit through Mass, which my mother never enjoyed Mass. She was a feminist, and she was always like, these men. And if they came around and like swatted her with like that water, she'd be like, ah, like it was burning her. I was like, why are we here? We don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. So this whole mass, I'm like aware of the fact that my mom's a murderer. And we get back in the car, we get home, and the cat is dead on the driveway when we arrive at home. Nothing was said. She did not apologize. I'm pretty sure she never went to confession. We were just like, okay, let's clean that up. Call the vet or the cat 911. I don't remember what we did with BJ. I hope she went to confession. I'm not sure if she did, but I guess I've heard of a sacrificial lamb, but I've never heard of a sacrificial cat, and I'm pretty sure that's what Morning Dew was. So I hope my mom goes to heaven. I guess we'll see.
Roxana Ortega, what'd you think, Jimmy?
I was once in a van where the guy hit a human being and kept moving.
That's probably worse.
I don't know if it is.
Oh, okay.
But it was. It was in a shuttle bus from the airport to our rental to the rental car, and we're all like, "I think you just hit somebody." The guy's like, "I gotta get you guys to the place." And I'm like, "No, I think you hit a human being. I got a quota. I gotta get you going."
People are on purpose.
Yeah,
you know,
we gotta get going somewhere. And I don't know if we murdered a human being. But I was a witness to a man driving away from a hit and run.
Oh, wow, that's intense.
So yeah, thanks for bringing that back.
But there was no boogers or shit. So
no, it was a nice
cool.
clean story.
Yeah. That was great. That was cool.
All right, Jenny, what'd you think of the story?
I liked it. It sent me to a place 8 years old. My friend Emily, her mom had one of those Ford Aerostar vans.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. There was the circle driveway, and she's like, we're going to Burger King. Me, Emily, her cousin Steven. We hit a boom, boom, going out, and she goes, you kids and your damn bikes. And then put that bitch in reverse. I'm going to show you.
No.
Boom, boom. And then she went, Casey. Oh, Casey was dead as fuck. And all I heard was Steven in the back go, does this mean we're not going to Burger King?
You went, right? You went to Burger King?
I know Casey was just a little fuzzy, blind, deaf dog that was like 300 years old. It was his time or her time. I don't even know. The dog was old as fuck. But I just love the fact, are we still going to Burger King? Everyone was crying. I'm like, I got on my bike and just rode home crying.
Wow, that's sad.
And then I got home and my parents are like, what's wrong with you, fag? No, I'm just kidding. They didn't. I just want to see how y'all would reply to that. Like,
did you get a Whopper that day or not?
No, I didn't get shit. I got home. Sorry. My parents were like, that is fucked up.
Yeah. Mm.
And Danny, I will fucking make you burn chicken tenders.
Have it your way.
Exactly.
Danny, what'd you think?
I mean, I wanted so desperately to be Catholic growing up.
Wow.
So, I know. I did. Well, no. I grew up in this town in Jersey, and it was like a third Jewish at the time and two-thirds Italian Catholic. And I just and we never went to temple or did anything like that. I always told her the story, but I didn't even know I was Jewish till I was 11.
We had a Christmas tree. My favorite story ever.
Yeah. So I had a Christmas tree. So I was in bands, and I was playing with this band with these older kids from West Orange, New Jersey. And I'm in there, we're playing, and it's great. And then one of these kids' older brother comes up to me and goes, hey, you're a dirty Jew. And I said, fuck you, I'm not a dirty Jew. And he's like, yeah, you are a dirty Jew. I was like, say that again. He goes, dirty Jew. And I broke his nose. And so then my mother came over and then was like, the mother was like, pulled me, his mother pulled me by the hair. What are you doing? And I was like, she's like, Danny, what got over? And I was like, he called me a dirty Jew. I'm not a dirty Jew. And she said, I can't speak to the dirty part. But, and I swear that was the last fight. Like, I found out I was Jewish. And that was like the last fight I was ever in. It was like, became super litigious.
You were like, I think I got an allergy.
It's really the truth, though. I remember I loved it. I was like, I played bass in Jesus Christ Superstar. I was like, this is fucking cool. And then it's like, I'm hearing the chorus and they're going, Jesus crucify my. Well, who's that chorus? Those are the fucking Jews. It's like, oh shit, this is racist. That was my whole story on Catholicism.
Danny, how are you raising your children now?
Barely.
I
didn't raise them with anything.
Yeah, you have a Christmas tree.
We have a Christmas tree, but we don't have a.
We
don't have a Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're very secular.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, let Roxana Ortega hear it. Okay, this gets so exciting because now these guys are going to choose...
This is the hardest.
...two storytellers to go on and tell a three-minute story. Put those two names in this jar, if you would. Jenny, you've got the names, right? So you guys work together. Let me hold your beer. I'll put it right over here. I'm not going to drink it. I'm just going to put it there. And these guys are going to figure this out. I want to thank a couple of people helping us out tonight. Because as you know, there's a lot of moving parts to this show, right? So thank you first and foremost to my right, Joe Slepsky. Thank you for operating the clock. Joe Slepsky on clock management. And in the back on the music is Jim Coughlin. Thank you, Jim Coughlin. Give him a round of applause. Come on, you guys. And he's back there with the sound guy of the improv, Mitch. Mitch, thank you so much. Julie is your bartender. Make sure you tip her. And I also want to bring up my co-producer, John Cohen. Without him, you guys, I could not do this show. So a big round of applause to John Cohen. Say hello to him on your way out. These guys, are you getting close?
We're in.
There are two names in the jar right now.
It was very difficult.
It was difficult.
There were fights.
It was difficult.
Yeah.
There were fights.
I wasn't happy.
But, yeah. But Pardo was, like, really insistent. So we went with his.
I really was.
All right, you guys. So
he
we've got
like,
two
no
names
shit, no
coming
bugger.
Up. These guys are going to tell a true three-minute story. So settle in for some fun. Coming up right now, our first contestant is Mo Welsh. Mo Welsh, come on up. All right, you guys. Let her hear it.
Hi, Mo.
Thanks for having me again, guys.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, my pleasure.
No, it was good. Little Mermaid.
I like your enthusiasm.
Yeah, that's all I can give. Oh, I hate pets. All right. Okay. Start.
On pets, yeah? Pets.
Yeah, begin. All right, we didn't have, like I said before, we were really poor, so like poor people don't take care of animals. It's really, like I'm surprised we're not all serial killers. We killed most, every pet of ours was killed, or we didn't kill it. It was just, it died because we didn't take care of it, or it ran away. I had a prized guinea pig named Patches that I showed in 4-H fairs. No big deal. I was really cool. And I brushed its hair. It looked beautiful. Never changed its cage. Not once.
Oh.
It literally was living in shit. And it died. It died because it was living in shit, and it died in its own shit. And we had a dog named Satchel. Satchel ran away. Molly, Chow Chow, ran away as well. Buddy ran away, died immediately from a car. Don't worry, it gets really funny. It doesn't. I'm just naming off pets. God. Oh, Jake the snake was not a snake. It was my cat. And left the house, died right in the driveway, just ran over, RIP. He still would have been alive today. It was 27 years ago. All right, so I did have, I had one pet. My mom gave me one last chance. She said, you can have one last pet. And this was, I was like 12 years old. And I was like, all right, well, I'm definitely getting a bird. And I went in the front yard. There was a willow tree. And I tried to make the bird a cage with willow tree branches. And I failed. It's not important to the story. We went to the pet store. I got myself a little cage for the bird. Got a parakeet. Oh, it's the longest 3 minutes ever. I got a parakeet. I named it Penny because I was a huge fan of Penny Hardaway. What's up? He's in the house tonight. number one. And put him next to my bed, and I went to sleep, and he died in my sleep. He died straight up alive, but he died in my sleep. So RIP. Let me know if you have any questions after the show. Thank you.
Mo Welsh, wow. You guys. Mo Welsh. All right, what'd you think, Danny?
Well, here's the thing. Like, I thought it was, like, a lot of storytellers are really confined to this. A story has to have a beginning. and then it has to build, and then there's this twist ending. And I just thought the courage you showed by, in many ways, not telling any story at all.
Very creative, yeah.
Was very, I don't, who did, oh, Superman? Who is that artist?
You know, Laurie Anderson?
Yeah, it's very Laurie Anderson storytelling. Avant-garde. So each nugget was good, but thank you. We'll talk to you later. Yeah, thank you for coming in.
Jake the Snake, what did you think, Jenny?
I love anything with a Penny Hardaway reference. I thought that was fucking great. No one got it. Orlando Magic?
I didn't get it. Who is that?
Penny Hardaway.
Anthony Hardaway.
There's a group, an organization called the National Basketball Association.
And, do tell.
And there are some people that actually excel at a sport called basketball. And this gentleman happened to be better than most.
All right. See, yeah. That's good information.
And so that's, I fully understand that. Yeah.
All right. But, I've learned a little bit right now.
But you know what? I like pets. I like pets that are alive. I support alive pets.
You sound like Trump. I prefer my pets alive.
No, he doesn't even have pets.
I know.
No, pets right. would not tolerate that.
Jimmy Pardo, what did you think?
You know what? I like that you welcome questions afterwards. because I do have a lot of follow-ups. I want to just echo Danny. I really enjoyed the lack of story. But again, the ability to question later.
Right.
So I give it, I don't know what sort of scoring structure I'm supposed to go. I'm going to give it 7.
All right. Sounds good.
Jimmy, do you have any pets?
I am deathly allergic to dogs and cats.
So you don't have any pets?
We have no pets.
And you could
no.
get it in boogers.
Yes.
You could get a Jake the Snake.
I don't need a reptile in the house.
Or a hamster named Oreo.
I can't think of anything worse.
Jenny, do you have any pets?
I do. I have a dog named Dewey.
A dog named Dewey?
Yeah. And what kind? Lyndon Dewey Johnson.
What kind of dog is that?
A Basset. He's like fuzzy Basset.
That's nice.
I tell people he's a mutt, but he's like an actual dog with papers.
Oh, that's a good thing, I think,
like,
right?
If you've ever seen like Best in Show, he's one of those dogs. But yeah. He flew here on United.
Oh,
yeah,
Danny,
but in LA, I need a dog that has like half a face and a torso.
I have,
you know what I mean,
I have one like great dog. I have two shit dogs, and and I have a cat I love more than like I honestly I more than any straight man ever.
Queer.
Liked a cat. Yeah, I love this cat.
Queer. I do love cats. Queer. I also love. I wish I was not allergic. I love them.
Yeah, I love men who love cats.
Oh my God, I really love cats. And walks on the beach.
Let's
Christine.
Split the difference. I do not.
All right, you guys, let her hear it. Mo Welsh.
Yay, Mo. Wow.
I'm talking about my feelings.
The final that. Story coming. Final storyteller coming up today, you guys, to tell a true 3-minute story. Here we go.
Better
John
be.
Gabris, you guys. Woo! Let him hear it. Here he comes right now, you guys. Let him hear it.
Spin the wheel.
Here he comes right now. Hint, get on the stage. I'm so excited to be here in the finals.
I fought for you, and so don't let me down.
I was against it, John.
I figured. The wheels. Well, here we are.
Here we go.
Oh, shit. Hit me with the Holly Weird.
No, you did that already,
right?
Did
it. All right, I'm going to do it. A little spin lighter again. Spin, a little lighter spin so we can get to something.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, yeah.
You have a good touch.
That is nice. I'm so aroused right now.
Oh, hit me with that Holly Weird.
Yes.
Interviews. We've all been on them.
Yeah. Well, not all of us.
Not really. Not a lot of people want to talk to
Pretty
us.
Casual over there, climbing the corporate ladder. Some of us don't know how to put on a tie. All right. Interviews. Okay. Yeah. Start that clock. Pour water on the clock so we know it's time to go. All right.
Tequila, interviews. Don't worry.
I've never been on a real job interview. I've either been a PA or a actor, which is funny to say. I guess in that case, I've been on thousands of job interviews in which I talk in front of a stranger and then they say, we're going with a less fat version of you or a POC, if you will. You know, I'm the only person actually losing my job to my... No, I'm just kidding. Oh, that didn't go over well? Surprise, surprise. All right. Just got back from the road. That kills. All right, so interviews. I had an interview one time at a production company, And this dude had his feet up. He was as quintessential as you could imagine. He had a poster of a movie he was a producer on behind his desk, like super huge. And he had a big wooden desk on like a second floor in a Venice. Like he thought he was so fucking baller. He took his shoes off and put his feet up and had like dress socks on with like run. I don't know what old rich people wear dress socks with running shoes and sneakers. I don't fucking. Any of you guys old and rich? Well, Danny, what kind of shoes are you? Sensible? Yeah, oh, but normal socks. Normal adult socks.
Yeah.
So this guy is, he's just talking up his own ass. And me and my, and the aforementioned Justin, again, we're just in this meeting together. We're, oh, okay. And he's like, so you guys, blah, blah. And he's asking us all these questions and we're answering. We think we're doing all right. And then he literally starts eating grapes. He starts slowly eating grapes as he's talking to us, and then he starts throwing grapes up in the air and catching them in his mouth, and he's sort of cocky about it. Like, when he succeeds, he kind of looks at us as if we're going to be like, oh, shit, we got to make a non-union movie deal with this guy. He's fucking, and he starts popping grapes, and then, again, I was telling, like, my friend Justin, he's a little bit more mild-mannered than me, and the fucking guy, I wish I could know his name because I would sell him out, especially now that I know this is a podcast. It was Broken Road Entertainment. So, okay.
Oh, I know this.
He fucking throws a grape at Justin. If you had never been on a Hollywood meeting as a nobody, it is already the most demeaning experience ever. They're like, so you think about taking classes at UCB? And you're like, I've been doing comedy for 15 years. They're like, oh, okay. Do you know Will Ferrell or this other huge celebrity? You're like, no. He's like, well, we got nothing really going on for you. All right, I'm out of here. So it's already humiliating. Then he starts throwing fucking grapes at my friend. And Justin's just looking at me. He's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? And this guy's, he's like cackling. And all, I have like a flashback to just being a fucking, and then he throws a grape at me, and I am not athletic, but in this moment, I'm a fucking, I'm Beverly Hills Ninja. I catch the grape, stand up, and whip it right back at him, and it hits the movie poster and splats. And it's like, wet, and he's like, what the fuck, man, you can throw it. And I was like, you threw a grape at me. I was throwing a grape back at you. He's like, behind you is a window.
And there was a window.
John Gabrus, ladies and gentlemen.
Oddly timed.
John Gabrus, that was a great story. Wow. What'd you think, Danny?
Okay, so I've been on both sides of that desk. And I was... No, I love this story a lot. I weirdly think, I can't think of the guy's name, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
And you are absolutely right. Biggest asshole. First time I ever had a pilot going, or like I thought, they told me, oh, this is a done deal. This pilot is a done deal. So I'm like, oh, cool. I'm going to interview some writers. They told me interview writers before it's picked up. So I'm in the, I'm like, I have my feet on the desk, normal socks, talking to some young writers. And I'm thinking I'm a big shit, and I'm like telling them about the show, and I'm, you know, what I really want to do is I really want to just like, you know, I want to surprise people and have them fit. And in the middle, and in the middle of this also, I, as I'm pontificating, I have a giant nosebleed because I'm a cocaine addict, and then at the, it's really true, and I actually know these writers and have worked with them since, and they're great guys, and I've confessed I was completely wasted on cocaine and being an asshole. But what they remember is that in the middle of this meeting, I took a phone call from the network after pontificating with a bloody nose telling me we've decided to pick up the single guy. And that was my story. So I'm on every side.
Well, thank you for paving the way for the single guy. Jonathan Silverman?
Oh, my God. I mean,
Ernest Borgnine, good stuff. The very funny Ernie Borgnine.
Yeah, yeah.
Ernest Borgnine.
Ernie.
Ernie B.
Class act.
Saw him at Target once.
Danny, do you have a septum now?
I have no, like, you could go all, you could go all, I mean, I won't, but I could go all the way through. Oh,
so you could do, like, that tissue thing when people go up one side and then they pull it down the other side?
Yeah, it's like nothing. It's really,
that's
just,
disgusting.
There's just nothing.
Pardo was saying he doesn't think you can do that. He says, prove it.
He wants to see it.
He needs to see it. It's right in his wheelhouse.
I'd like to see it with a pipe cleaner. That's how I'd like to see it.
All right, Jimmy Pardo, what did you think of this story?
You know what? Here's what I think. John, all I think about the entire time you tell any story is, what happened to Justin? Why aren't you guys friends anymore?
Oh, we're still best friends, but he got a writing job in New York, so he stays there.
Oh, so left you behind.
Yeah, he's, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think I left him behind, but he's more successful. Like, I was like, I'm going to Hollywood where I'll do non-union MTV2 shows.
What's he writing on?
He's writing on The Opposition with Jordan Klepper.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. Justin's killing it.
Good for
Throw your boy a fucking bone, Justin, if you're listening to the story.
Just real quick question. Can we get Justin
He's truly busy.
This Justin sounds great.
Jenny Johnson, what did you think of this story?
Did we see Justin at the halftime show? At the Super Bowl?
What did you think of this story about Hollyweird?
Or interviews.
I
found it funny. Like, I've had enough... like I had one at I had an interview at Amazon.
Ooh. I love this story. This is great.
And this was on a Friday after I had already sold my pitch on a Monday to the place I really wanted to sell it to. So I was cocky as fuck. And after the whole week of pitches, everyone was making offers. Like, oh yeah, I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm suck my D. I was so like big shot. So by Friday, Amazon people did not think Jenny was funny. Everyone else laughed at my whole pitch, thought it was hilarious, and I go into Amazon, and first off, I walked in, I was like, well, I'm a Prime member, shouldn't you just automatically buy this shit? Turns out it doesn't work that way. I sit there and in front of three people, and I pitch, and I was a little bit raunchier than necessary. Shocking. And everyone, this was the face, like every time I hit a joke, a punchline, they went,
God, that's hard.
But it made me laugh. I thought it was the funniest thing ever because I'd already sold what I needed to sell. So I go, here's the kicker. At the very end, I go, everyone's transgender. Totes not true, but that fucking Transparent show on Amazon was a big deal.
Doing
and there
pretty
was a
well.
Poster right behind him. So I was like, okay, you didn't like that, but at the end... Everyone's transgender.
They seem to have a great sense of humor about that whole transgender.
Yeah, thing. I'm probably not allowed back at Amazon.
All right, you guys. John Gaffer,
so
let him hear
right,
it.
Yes, I liked it very much.
Thank you.
All right, now this is where the hard work begins because these three judges have to determine who is the winner of Story Smash tonight and who will come back to compete in Story Smash next month, which, by the way, is Saturday, March 24th at 8 o'clock. A more reasonable hour, if you will. Anyway, we're excited to come back next month. And please, you guys, check out Storyworthy. That's my podcast. And you'll hear a lot of these guys on the podcast. Also coming up is Lori Kilmartin and Bob Wildfong. Yeah, so it's really a great show coming up every Monday is a brand new Storyworthy. And I also want to give another big thank you tonight to a bunch of people, including Joe Slepsky, Jim Coughlin, applauding, Mitch in the back, Julie, my co-producer, John Cohen, of course, and all of the storytellers. John Gabris, John Flynn, we're going, we're clapping. Woo! Roxana Ortega, Mo Welsh, Jason Shapiro, and of course these three fabulous people, Danny Zucker, you guys, big round of applause. Jenny Johnson, let her hear it. And Jimmy Pardo, the one and only Jimmy Pardo. All right, now you guys, before I ask you who the winner is, I want to know what made you decide. What was your decision based on?
Sympathy.
Sympathy. Anything else?
I found both entertainers very charming.
Yes.
But there could only be one.
Could only be one.
And these two seemed really hell bent on picking this one.
I see.
And I'm an easy follow.
Yeah, I see. What do you think, Jenny?
I liked all of them. I mean, I would so have sex with every one of them.
Really?
No, but I just thought that would be a nice thing to say.
Here's I'd fuck I've, Justin.
Yeah. I would fuck. Well, I don't know. I'd probably fuck.
Here's what
of
I forgot to mention is what? The winner gets my one and only homemade chocolate chip cookies right here in my hand. Yeah.
Uh-oh. They're really good.
Now,
by
wait
the way.
A minute. Are the
yeah? No. Got to say that at the top, right?
Wait
I buried
a minute,
the lead.
Are the roofies smashed up in
no,
there?
No. The, well,
I
there
be
could
surprised.
Be marijuana cookies in here. You'll just have
I
to. You'll
surprise.
Have to figure it
that
out.
That may change but, our answer.
That may change. Yeah.
Daniel? All right, Danny. Any other thoughts?
I look both. People did a very good job. I think that two very different in the finals. If I'm being honest, two very different storytelling styles. One more a list of things. the other one building to an end. And so that was how I, that was sort of how I made my decision with a lean toward one of those two distinct styles.
All right, you guys, listen, the winner of tonight's Story Smash coming back next month is the one and only John Gabris, you guys. Let him hear it, you guys. John Gabris, come on up, John. Here he comes, folks.
I get to come back up, and I have 3 minutes to eat all these cookies.
You guys, thanks so much again for coming out. My name's Christine Blackburn. Good night.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.